My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
He's much faster than you think. He's got a very big catch radius for smaller arms, too. He finds ways to go up and get the ball. He's not afraid to go and catch it with the safety right in front of his face. He just does all the little things right. Again, watch a running back catch the ball to the left. You see Khalil from the other side of the field sprinting his tail off to go and try to spring an extra block or be there for a fumble. And he just does things the right way. It's easy to love playing with him.
Welcome back, Josh Allen on Khalil Shakir. I don't dispute any of that. I just don't know what the ceiling is for Shakir, and this has been something Bulldog and I, and he's not here today, have battled on, because, you know, he's fast, he's this. Just was never, like, the great prospect. He's been okay, you know, he's a very efficient player. Last year, he caught 39 out of 45 passes and was relevant in the playoffs, too. I just don't know what the ceiling is, you know, and it's kind of maybe not the number one thing I think about when I sort of express caution about this year, but it's up there because I think it's really a lot to expect, you know, big numbers from Khalil Shakir. Thanks for listening. Mike Shope here, always happy to have Mike Dempsey on the show. Known Mike for many years out of Jacksonville, also football diehards. Mike, thanks for your time. How you been?
Always good to catch up with you, Mike. How are you?
Good, good. The Bills and the Jaguars, maybe to different extents, but two teams where the passing game pecking order is maybe pretty much up in the air. I don't know. Do you feel that way about Jacksonville? Like, Christian Kirk is the first pass catcher that gets drafted. Engram is popular. You've got rookie Brian Thomas, Gabe Davis. Is it kind of clear to you how that's going to break down?
It's clear to me what it is at the moment. I mean, I don't know what will develop necessarily, but I would put Davis ahead of Thomas, but otherwise agree with that order. You know, I think a lot of people want the new shiny toy to be the one that takes over. And by that, I mean the draft pick toy in Brian Thomas. And, you know, I think he's running as the clear number three among wide receivers at the moment. I think that can change. He's had some good days here in the last few, probably a slow start to camp, but, you know, that happens with rookies a lot. And I think Kirk will be the obvious target leader. Engram will be next. I think that is absolutely spot on. And I think probably, you know, if you're talking about a fantasy draft, I think more people are taking Thomas over Davis, and I think that presents a decent value on Gabe. I mean, he's locked in right now as one of the outside receiver starters on this team. Thomas likely will be too, because you run a lot of 11 personnel, so you're going to have three receivers on the field. But I think that's fair that at the moment, at least, Kirk, Ingram, Davis, Thomas would be the way I'd order it.
The narrative that caught my ear on Jacksonville last year with Travis Etienne was that maybe they think they wore him out, and the results may reflect that. When you look at this year, I mean, there's been a little bit, the Jaguars have hyped Tank Bigsby a little bit in that backfield. I mean, one way to go, Mike, would be to just increase your pass percentage, your pass volume, and talk about that 11 personnel with the tight end getting as many targets as Ingram has been getting. I don't know, do you like that? Do you see a shift in how often they throw it?
Well, you know, Ingram got all those targets last year in part because Zay Jones missed a ton of time, and then Kirk missed the final five games, I believe, of the season. So he became really the only guy that Trevor Lawrence had constant faith in. Calvin Ridley was there, but he had a lot of drops last year, and so I think that's why you see Ingram's numbers the way they were. I think they wanted to take some of the burden off of Travis Etienne last year, but Tank Bigsby got off to just a horrific start, right? He fielded a live ball, didn't realize it was a live ball, stood there, had somebody slap it out of his hands and just take it away from him. And it was such kind of like a bonehead rookie mistake, and he had a couple of fumbles early on. And I think the team just lost confidence in him, and like, this guy is not ready to learn on the job, or at least we're not willing to give him that kind of workload. Tank had a great offseason last year. That's where kind of the hype came in. And I think, you know, in the fantasy community now, people aren't buying it. Oh, well, they said this about Tank Bigsby last year. And they don't look at the circumstances as to why he didn't get incorporated more. He's having a wonderful camp. He really is. He's catching the ball out of the backfield, something I think Etienne is obviously very good at as well. I think this is going to be a team that takes more shots down the field in general. That's why they went and got Davis. They got Brian Thomas to play to the strengths of Trevor Lawrence, but I think that they want this to be a fairly balanced offense, but you don't pay your quarterback $250 million, just turn around and hand it off either. So, I mean, it will be a pass first team, but, you know, Etienne will probably end up being as busy as most of the top running backs in the National Football League, just in terms of, you know, he's going to get a high percentage of the workload. He has shown that he's been pretty durable, and I think a lot of his struggles last year had to do with the offensive line as well, and they're hoping that gets better.
He had a monster game against the Bills, ETN, where they played in London, where they played with the lead, and then he broke one late, huge, over 30 fantasy points in that game for Travis ETN. With Mike Dempsey, 1010XL Jacksonville, and Football Diehards, talk to me about how you remember and what you thought of the end of the first round of the draft. Starting with the Brian Thomas pick by the Jaguars at 23, did that sort of what did that rate for you on a scale of say 1 to 10? Then you had, you know, the Bills maneuvering later on in the first round, trading with Kansas City, who picked Worthy, and then trading with Carolina, who picked Leggett before the Bills start round two with Coleman. Here, I mean, that's a pretty, I don't know, cocky sort of move, right? Giving the Chiefs, of all teams, the receiver they preferred.
Yeah, well, starting with the Brian Thomas move, the Jags traded back from 17 to 23 and picked up a fifth rounder this year, which they used on Keelan Robinson, who they really like as a special team returner, and he's going to be a core four guy on teams, and they got an extra third and fourth rounder next year. So they got a ton of value to move back six picks. Got the guy that they said they would have taken all along. You know, they could have gone with a corner at that spot, but that they needed a young potential alpha to grow. Look, I like what the Bills did, because I'm sorry, I like my receivers to look like they've eaten sometime in the last decade. And, you know, 165-pound Xavier Worthy at 5'11", you know, people will point to, well, DeSean Jackson, okay, he's the one. He's the one that everyone points to as saying, oh, this is why it can work. Look, maybe it will work, and maybe he'll be blowing past secondaries all year, but, you know, already getting dinged up in camp, I don't trust a guy who's built like that. I have very... I might have a share or two on about 200 fantasy teams that I've drafted this year of Xavier Worthy. I have a lot more of Keon Coleman. By the way, Xavier Leggett, you had to remind me that he went to Carolina. Have you heard anything about him? Not
no.
a thing.
No.
You're hearing more about Jonathan Mingo, last year's second-round pick, who was totally forgotten. And obviously, Deontay Johnson is there. Adam Thielen. You know, not really loving what Carolina has done overall with the skill positions in the draft. We'll see with Jonathan Brooks, obviously, you know, coming off a pretty significant knee injury, and I think he'll be a good one down the line. I'm curious, though, I got to ask you, Mike, like, you tell me what the pecking order is up there in Buffalo, because I hear from some reporters that Curtis Samuel should be the guy. I had Ryan O'Halloran of the Buffalo News tell me last week that they'd be happy if Keon Coleman gave them a Gabe Davis-like year, which to me is like 50 catches, 6 or 7 touchdowns. Yep. Is that jiving with what you're seeing in training camp?
I agree with both of those projections. I mean, Samuel, for having played for two different teams and now a third, he's consistent, right? So the coordinator knows him. He took a handoff into the end zone yesterday. Like, there's going to be stuff like that, I think, where there's not a clear, you know, there's not depth at running back. So I think that'll definitely happen here and there. I don't know how playable he'll be. I don't know how playable any of these guys will be. Coleman would be the one that you would love to be able to put in your lineups. But I agree with the Davis as a rookie. You know, for as many options as they have. I think the only guy, well, I don't mean James Cook, but of the pass catchers, the only guy I'm going to want to sort of be able to think I can bank on is Kincaid. But, you know, even that, right? Like, it took him a while to get down the field last year, and Knox exists. And when Knox came back from an injury, Kincaid, his snap percentage came back down. So it's a tough one this year, but like I said before you came on, I'm not super high on Shakir for, like, stats, at least. Coleman has been, Mike, I think, exactly what we expected or were told to expect in terms of, like, how these practices have gone. Because, like, kind of every day you hear about one great play, and then, oh, there was this other time where he and Allen were not on the same page and there was a pick six, or just, you know, this one would have been interference. It's kind of, is it like there's one of each every day? And I think that might actually be, because this is kind of how it sounded, the Keon Coleman experience.
Look, that's what you get out of a rookie.
Yep.
I think a lot of times. I'm a Florida State fan, by the way, so I love Keon Coleman. And contested catches, the guy was just a wizard last year, and I think ultimately he'll show that value. But I think you make a good point about Kincaid. Kincaid looks like he could be the leading pass catcher for you guys, or the most consistently targeted, but it comes down to touchdowns. You know, I think he had 2 last year, and I think that despite what they always say, you know, and quarterbacks always reach this point when they're mobile quarterbacks, you know this, Mike, that we're going to back off a little bit. We want them to, you know, use other assets in the game. But you get inside the 10-yard line, Josh Allen smells that end zone, man. It's why James Cook doesn't score a ton of touchdowns, and it's why Josh Allen has been the number one fantasy quarterback going on nearly half a decade here now. And I think that, you know, people think in the heat of battle, you're going to revert to what works, and that has worked a ton for Josh Allen, obviously, over the last few years.
You know, Mike, I asked you if you thought maybe Jacksonville would shift toward more pass over run. I think the Bills will be more run over pass. I don't mean like more than 50%, but they moved that way late in the season. There's different theories about exactly why game script. They had a lead in a couple of those games where it makes it easy, like the Dallas game where they just won easily. But I that's kind of what I see here with as many different options as they have, but nobody's undeniable like Diggs was. And I think that makes Ray Davis interesting, because Cook is not like 90% of the snaps, you know, like he's not big for that. So I would think that maybe, especially if they want to hold Allen back a little bit. And last year they did. I mean, until they got to 6-6 and had to win every week. And then after that, all bets were off. I mean, he scored a touchdown in almost every game at that point.
Right.
But not until their season was kind of, you know, to desperate times did they do that. So 1 year older, I think, you know, that might open. I like drafting Davis because, you know, there's always the running back contingent value. And I think, you know, I've heard Evan Silva, for one, and know who you know who Evan is.
Oh, sure.
Say like that David or that Joe Brady pounded the table for him. So I could see him being Ray Davis being pretty relevant.
Yeah, and I think too, Mike, it depends on what kind of league we're talking about here, right? Are you talking about a league where you're drafting it and you've got to submit a lineup every week? Are you talking about a best ball scenario where a guy like Ray Davis, if you take him as your fourth or fifth running back and he happens to have a 2-touchdown game, you don't have to guess when that comes. You know, right. That to me is kind of the perfect scenario to have him on your roster.
And that gets us back to Gabe Davis, I suppose, one of the quintessentially, you know, good fits for that kind of format. Mike, so speaking of fantasy, since we've talked, I feel like I draft a lot, and I know you're drafting even more than I am. I'm just kind of bored with the first two rounds. I don't know. So, some of these drafts are like $5, and I sit there and just like wait for anybody to try something. But it just doesn't really – maybe it needs to be me. I don't know. But, you know, you have the same kind of top – 3-4, then the same guys in the middle. Then at the end, it's how you want to build it. You know, the two receivers or a Gibbs or a Jonathan Taylor. Do you have the same thought about the first round? Is this maybe kind of what it usually is like? And how, quote, weird are you willing to get?
Look, I think what the variance comes in. In the top eight picks, there's a clear top eight players. And maybe you put A.J. Brown in as the ninth, but he seems to be the clear ninth. So the top eight guys, McCaffrey, you know, for me, every chance I get, I don't care where I'm drafting. If I can get him with the second pick, fantastic. With the third pick, but I'll take him every time with the number one pick. But then, you know, beyond that, CeeDee Lamb or Tyreek Hill, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra, St. Brown, or do you want to go Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson? I think there's a lot of variance within that group. It's the same seven guys that go after McCaffrey, but it's the interesting thing. You'll see Bijan go 2, you'll see Bijan go 8, for instance. But I do, I think what it is, Mike, is, you know, people are like, well, if I tinker with this one, I'm missing out on my opportunity to get this guy at cost. You know, I start drafting so early in the offseason that I've seen Kyren Williams go from like the 10th overall pick down to a third rounder. Now he's climbing his way back up midway through the second round, and I see him go around the 1-2 turn again. So, you know, I think it depends on what time you're drafting. If you had drafted 3 or 4 months ago, you could get Derrick Henry sometimes in the early fourth round.
Yep.
Now he's slid into the second. So taking him then in the second would have been bold, but you didn't have to do that either. You know, it's more like for me about guys I'm avoiding. I'm avoiding Devon Achane. Too much variance when I can get Raheem Mostert in the late 7th, 8th round. And, you know, even if his touchdowns get cut in half, I'm getting a good value. Nico Collins, any of those Texans receivers, too rich for my blood. Any given week, one of those guys is probably going to be missing out, and it could easily be Nico as much as it could be Tank Dell or Stephon Diggs. So for me, it's more about guys I'm avoiding. I think there are a lot of guys that are a fair value. I don't like Chris Olave in the middle of the second round. I don't trust Derek Carr. I vacillate on Sam Laporta and Travis Kelce exactly when to take them. But I think it happens. Maybe we don't notice it, but it happens every year when we settle in and people kind of draft off of ADP.
If you get to 5 or 6 guys in the top 30 to 36 picks, 3 rounds that you know you don't want to pick, I guess just necessarily you will end up loading up on a few guys. You know, like there has to be a counter to that, unless you're dipping into the later rounds, which, you know, I don't know if you're doing that, but. Where do you end up on then more often, like Devontae Adams or Waddle?
I'm a Mike Evans guy.
Evans.
Late second round, I'm looking for Evans, and that's in some leagues, you'll see in some drafts I'm in, he'll last to the late third, so maybe I'm taking him a round over. But at that point, like if I'm at the second pick around 3, and I can get Mike Evans. Like, I'm looking for Derrick Henry and Mike Evans around that range in the late second, early third, and kind of reading the board, seeing which one's more likely to make it back to me. And if I have to take them around over where they're going on average, well, the point is I'm not going to get a chance to get them in the fourth. There's, you know, too many picks are going to come off the board. So I like Evans probably more than most do. And I've liked Henry for a while, and his price is kind of caught up to where I think his value is.
How about Amari Cooper? Little later.
Love him.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah, you can get him in the fourth. Sometimes you get him in the early fifth. It's like stealing.
Guys, guys like those two guys, we just get bored, you know? Like, and you maybe forget, oh, he'll get older. Oh, you know, it seems like there's got to be a Neighbors in there that's more exciting or something. I mean, I'm fine drafting Neighbors too, but I think there's sort of a boring factor that can help. If you think about it, can help a player's value, and I think Cooper has arrived at that point.
Totally. He's going right now, average draft position, he's the 52nd player off the board, so that's early fifth round. I think, look, he was the guy, you look at Njoku's numbers in Cleveland. They took off when Joe Flacco got in. Cooper was good no matter who the quarterback was there, and they gave him the salary adjustment. He's obviously the alpha in the receiving room, and he's one of the best values on the board so far this year.
Turns out, last year, he had almost no chance of winning the big tournaments if he didn't have Amari Cooper, because that game he had, it wasn't the playoff game, but he had a monster game in Houston, maybe week 16, and that was kind of tough to beat. Just a couple of minutes left with Mike Dempsey. Mike, what is your tight end, your preferred tight end strategy? You want to wait and pick one of those guys? You mentioned Laporta and Kelsey. We've talked about Kincaid here. There are others. Or do you like, building around a second-round tight end sometimes?
I've got, sometimes when I get the first pick and I take McCaffrey, I'll take one of those top two tight ends and pair him with the best receiver on the board. And I feel then I've got a chance to get a really, maybe the number one running back, maybe the number one tight end, and a really good wide receiver to start my team. And I like that. But, I'm pushing 190 teams right now, Mike, something in that range. So, I probably backed away from that a little bit more. Take Mark Andrews in the late fourth, early fifth. As long as I'm getting, one of the top eight or nine guys. I'm not a Brock Bowers guy unless he really kind of falls. I'll take my shares of Kincaid. I'll take my shares of Evan Engram, provided it's a point per reception league. I'll take my shares of Jake Ferguson. I like Dalton Schultz as well in an offense where there are a lot of weapons. He's going to see single coverage all season long, if you're waiting a little bit later. But I generally like to get one of those, say, top 7, 8, 9 tight ends.
Do you feel the same way about quarterback, perhaps?
I'm much more inclined to wait, and take Jaden Daniels as the 11th, 12th quarterback off the board. Because, man, you can come back with Kirk Cousins, who was top five last year before he got hurt. He's got great weapons in Atlanta. You can come back with a steady Eddie and Brock Purdy. You can go the Trevor Lawrence route. There are so many guys that are falling into the mid-teens to late teens in the quarterback pool that I just love the potential upside of Daniels. I have been known to take my shots on Anthony Richardson as the fifth or sixth off the board, but I feel like Jaden Daniels is the discount. A different style of runner, but wouldn't shock me if he had that Lamar Jackson impact in Lamar's second season where people were taking him in the 10th round and everyone who did won their league because Lamar went crazy. I just feel like Daniels has he's going to have some of those games where he puts up ridiculous rushing totals if he stays healthy.
Remember it well. Yes. Thank you, Mike. It's always such a great treat to talk to you. Anything else you want to tell us about?
Nah, I love coming on, man. And I'm glad you gave me a little intel on the Buffalo receiver room. And, that's what we do, Mike. We reach out to our friends. We can't watch it all ourselves, right? So and look forward to competing with you this year, too.
Likewise. And I appreciate the point you made about when you draft, because maybe yourself, I know I get all the time, how can you draft a team in March? And everybody's got the same information. The game is trying to predict where you think the market will go. And you try to take advantage of, those guesses. So there's
I've got some teams, I guarantee you, where I got Derrick Henry in round 4 and Raheem Mostert in round 10. And those teams are going to roll people. That's how I feel right now.
Love it. Bills Jaguars here week 3. Maybe we'll talk before that.
Love to, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Mike Dempsey, 1010 XL in Jacksonville and footballdiehards.com. You got to be pretty obsessed, but love drafting early. There is logic to it. I mean, we're not there now. Now it's August. Here comes everybody else. Everybody starts to draft now, but in those beginning months or just weeks even, right after the Super Bowl, and now it's so sophisticated and popular that it's easy to find a game that early on in the offseason, like immediately, even before the Super Bowl, try to, you know, and that's before free agency even, but whenever, try to figure out where you think, how you think people's attitudes about certain players will change. Maybe there's like an injury concern that's likely to go away, or I don't know, whatever it could be, changing teams, and maybe take advantage of that information if you can. But again, now it's August. Now everybody's in there butting heads. Good stuff. Next up, Warren Sharp. We will talk about all kinds of different things about the upcoming season, the Bills, the schedule, the AFC East, and some of particular Warren's work and studying the league all the time, one of the top guys. Sal will join me at 5. The Bills practice at the stadium at 5:30, so Sal will join me to set that up. Thanks for being along. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is off today. This is WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.